Please turn with us to the book of Psalms, chapter 65. Psalms, chapter 65. I'm going to ask if you're able and would like to stand to reverence the Word of God. We're going to read four verses of Scripture. The text will be bouncing out of verse number 4. Psalms chapter 65, begin reading verse number 1. Praise waiteth for thee, O God, in Zion, and unto thee shall the vow be performed. O thou that hearest prayer, unto thee shall all flesh come. Iniquities prevail against me. As for our transgressions, thou shalt purge them away. Blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee, that he may dwell in thy courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of thy house, even of thy holy temple. I'm keying in on the word satisfied this morning, and the title of the message is Satisfied or Not. Satisfied or Not. You can be seated. Pray with us, would you please? Father, thank you this morning for the Word of God. I thank you, God, this morning that we can approach unto thee. Thank you, Lord, for the house of God where we can come and meet with one another and fellowship one with another. And I just pray, God, this morning, Lord, that you would help something to stick in our heart that'll help us in our lives. God, I'm grateful this morning for your blessings, and I pray you would make us a blessing to our people. Lord, I pray for all of those, our Lord, that are trying to overcome surgeries and illnesses. Lord, I pray especially for those that need to overcome sin and the sin nature, that they would realize they can't do it without Jesus. They need the Lord. And I pray, God, you'd help them. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. By way of introduction this morning, I'm going to get into kind of a two-part message. But by way of introduction, I want to say that the Scripture declares that the eyes of man are never satisfied. I'm going to make a difference this morning in the message between the eyes of man and the heart of man. I thank God the heart of man can be satisfied. But the eyes of man, the Word of God said this, it said hell and destruction are never full, so the eyes of man are never satisfied. And the Bible said in Habakkuk 2 and verse number 5, yea, also because he transgresseth by wine, he's a proud man, neither keepeth at home, who enlargeth his desires, hell, and that's death, and cannot be satisfied, but gathereth unto him all nations, and heapeth unto him all people. The Ecclesiastes 4:8, Solomon said, there's one alone, and there is not a second, yea, he hath neither child nor brother, yet it is there no end of all his labor, neither is his eye satisfied with riches, neither saith he, for whom do I labor and bereave my soul for good? He said, this is also vanity, yea, it is sore vanity. It paints a dark picture. In Ecclesiastes 5 and 10, he that loveth silver shall not be satisfied with silver, nor he that loveth abundance with increase. This is also vanity. You know, many people misquote a scripture over in the New Testament. They'll say money is the root of all evil. How many knows that's not quoted correctly? You know what's quoted correctly? The love of money is the root of all evil. Amen. You can take money and do great things with it. Wonderful things for the Lord. Amen. And wonderful things for your neighbor. And I thank God for that. Ezekiel said they shall cast their silver in the streets. This is a day that's coming. And their gold shall be removed. Their silver and their gold shall not be able to deliver them in the day of the wrath of the Lord. They shall not satisfy their souls, neither fill their bowels, because it is thy stumbling block, the stumbling block of their iniquity. And so there's coming a day, many do not realize today, but silver and gold, it doesn't satisfy today, and in the day of the wrath of God, it's not going to satisfy then. Houses, lands, cars, possessions, none of that stuff is going to satisfy. I love this. I read it yesterday evening. A man became envious of his friends because they had larger and more luxurious homes. So he listed his house with a real estate firm, planning to sell it and to purchase a more impressive home. Shortly afterward, he was reading in the classified section of the newspaper. He saw an ad for a house that seemed just right. He promptly called the realtor and said, "A house described in today's paper is exactly what I'm looking for. I would like to go through it as soon as possible." The agent asked him several questions about it, and then he replied, "But sir, that's your house you're describing." Amen? Y'all getting the picture? Amen? The eyes of man are never satisfied. As God was working in my heart and preparing me to preach, I was sitting in my building. And I have a building because a neighbor gave me some trees. And I never even thought about building a building until the neighbor gave me some trees. And he wanted me to just cut them down so his knees could build a house, so no danger of them falling on the house. Once they're on the ground, three of them were 3 foot in diameter. One of them was 4 foot in diameter. And there were poplars, there were oaks. One of them was a black oak. And I said to my neighbor, "Doug, what are you going to do with these trees?" He said, "I ain't going to do nothing with them, Rick." He said, "Do you want them?" I said, "I'd love to have me a building." And I said, "I just think I could maybe cut these into logs and get one of them sawmills to come in here and saw it up for me." I didn't have a dime. Are you listening to me? I didn't have a dime to start building a building. But I just saw that wood laying there. And he said, "You can have it." And so I sawed it up, and I'm going to try to make the story brief. I sawed it up into 8 foot 6 inch lengths, 10 foot 6 inch lengths. That's why you're wanting the 10 foot board, a 12 foot 6 inch length. And I planned out my building. I sawed it all up, and they brought it down there, set it across the fence for me. But there was one log that was too big to saw. It wouldn't go on a portable sawmill. But the man that come and looked at it, he said, "Rick, that log's worth some money." He said, "The first two cuts in it are veneer." I said, "Really?" He said, "Yeah." So I called a man in my church. He come up there and looked at it. He said, "I'll tell you what." He said, "We'll buy that log off of you." He said, "I believe I can get you over $1,000 for the..." Here I am. I got wood to build a building. Are you listening to me? And I got I got $1,065 in my pocket now. I didn't have nothing to start with. I'm just telling you, God is good. But I was sitting there in that building last night, and Brother Chris, when I built it, it was 24 by 36. Plenty big. All the tools I owned, Brother Rick, would fit in a wheelbarrow. I had a skill saw, and I had a drill with a cord on it. I think I had a jigsaw. And I'm not even sure at that time if I had a miter saw. What are you trying to say? I sat there last night, and everywhere I looked, there was tools. And there's a big old mower. You can't hardly walk through it now. There's so much stuff in it. I believe if I'd have built it 100 foot long, it'd still be full. And my boy built one about twice the size of mine, and it's full. How many knows where I'm coming from? The eyes of man are never satisfied. Amen. I tell you, I didn't even know what a cordless tool was. And now I don't know if there's one that I don't own. Say amen. I put in an order at Christmas time. Get them ones Milwaukee that run on that 18-volt Milwaukee battery. And God's been good to me. But it does seem like... Now listen, you women are sitting there. He's talking about tools. That don't bother me none. Yeah, you open that closet and there's 49 pairs of shoes and 45 dresses and I ain't got nothing to wear. Amen. You know what I'm talking about. You're already looking at that next suitcase, a.k.a. pocketbook. That's what I call them. Amen. Especially when they weigh 29 pounds when you pick them up. Amen. The eyes of man, God said, are never satisfied. Amen. There's always something, 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 something. Amen. And when I read that about that guy's reading in the classifieds, how many of you men look at the classifieds? Would you at least help your pastor a little bit? Amen. Brother John said, "I don't look at the classifieds. I look at eBay." Say amen, Brother John. Amen. That's where them fiddles are. If you want to know a man that's all the time fiddling around, it's Brother John Dockery. Amen. He's all the time fiddling around. I'm just telling you, beloved, listen, every one of us, if we would admit it, say amen. We're always a-looking, we're looking, we're looking, we're looking, we're looking. The young people sitting in this can't wait to drive. Amen. And they're looking for that car. They're looking for this. They're looking for that. And so God said, the eyes of man are never satisfied. I just want you to know this morning, I'm going to turn the message now and look at the heart of man. Boy, glory to God. God bless my heart when I thought about this. Amen. I'm going to give you four things this morning that the heart of man certainly can be and ought to be satisfied. I'm glad I can say this morning with all four of these things, I'm satisfied. Glory to God. First of all, my heart is satisfied with His mercy. You say, Pastor, what do you mean? The Word of God said in Psalm 90 and verse number 14, "Oh, satisfy us early with Thy mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days." I'm satisfied, beloved, that that night when I knelt at an old-fashioned altar of prayer, amen, and asked Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, to forgive me of my sin and to wash me from my wretched soul, wash my wretched soul white in the blood of the Lamb. I'm satisfied that that night the God of all mercy, the God of all grace, had mercy on my soul. I'm satisfied. The Word of God said, the fear of the Lord tendeth the life, and he that hath it shall abide satisfied. In other words, beloved, Brother Chris, I didn't just get satisfied that night. I've been satisfied ever since. That word abide, amen. I don't go to bed at night and thinking, well, what if I don't wake up in the morning? Will I go to heaven or will I go to hell? No, I'm going to heaven, and it's not because of me, but I'm satisfied that God had mercy on my never-dying soul, amen. God don't have mercy one day and take it back the next day. Amen. Psalm 91:16, with long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Now here's something I want to just tie this in. You say, Pastor, you sound like you're boasting. Well, let me just tell you, in a way I am. I'm boasting in the grace of God. I'm boasting in the love of God. I'm boasting in the mercy of God. Listen to what the Word of God said. The Bible said in Isaiah 53:11, He, that's talking about God the Father, shall see the travail of his soul. That's talking about God the Son, the Lord Jesus, on the old rugged cross. He shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. You know what I say this morning? The Word of God said, by his knowledge shall his righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. I say it would be a shame this morning for Jesus, his Father, to look at Calvary and be satisfied, and me not look at Calvary and be satisfied with the mercy that flows from Calvary, amen, and the blood of the darling Son of God. I can be satisfied with Jesus and his cross because the Father is satisfied with Jesus and his cross. Years ago, talking about the eyes of man never be satisfied. Years ago, my dad had a neighbor. And to be honest with you, there was a touch of arrogance and pride about him. And Dad busted his bubble one day. He came over and about every 2 years, he bought a brand new truck. And God will forgive him, but it was a Ford truck. About every 2 years, he'd buy a Ford truck. And Dad's sitting up on the porch, and he pulls in the driveway. The truck's sitting down there. And he walks up the steps on the back deck, and he says to Dad, he says, John, how do you like my truck? Dad said, that thing's pretty. That thing's pretty. I wish I could remember his name. I'd say it. He's probably gone now. But anyway, I can't remember his name. Yeah, his name was Kenny. Amen. That's what it was. Amen. It wasn't Kenny Jane. Amen. But it was Kenny. That was his name. He said, Kenny, that's nice. And Kenny began to tell Dad all the features that that truck had on it. I mean, the bells and the whistles. Amen. And he told Dad all of them. He named them all. He was so proud of that truck. And Dad said, well, let me ask you this, Kenny. He said, does it have that heated tailgate on it? And this man, beloved, listen, he got a long face. You want to know why? Because he thought he had bought a truck and missed one feature on that truck. Dad, he said to Dad, heated tailgate. He said, yes, to keep your hands warm when you're pushing it in the winter time. Amen. Daddy was just joking with him. Amen. But I'm telling you, beloved, listen, that's the way people are. The eyes of man are never satisfied. But aren't you glad, Brother Junior, we can be satisfied in our heart with the mercy of an almighty God. Satisfied. Hallelujah. Amen. Satisfied with His mercy. The second thing, my heart is satisfied with His manna. You remember the children of Israel, beloved? God gave them manna and they went to griping. You remember that? I started to do this morning and I didn't do it. But I was going to bring me some rubber gloves because after shaking hands, you wouldn't want to make peanut butter crackers. Amen. But I started to bring me a jar of peanut butter and bring me some crackers up here to the pulpit. And I started just make me a peanut butter cracker. And I was going to reach under there and have me a cooler with a cold glass of milk in it. Amen. Old Brother Key said, you need to frost that glass. He said, put that glass in the freezer and frost it. Then pour it full of milk. He said, you talk about good. I ain't never tried that, but I do like cold milk, and I don't like warm milk. I'm like Brother Mays Jackson. If it's supposed to be cold, make it cold. If it's supposed to be hot, make it hot. Leave a lukewarm for that other crowd. Say amen. Amen. But anyway, I started to bring that up here. And you know what we ought to do? If that's all we had, we'd be satisfied. You say, Pastor, where does that come from? Do you know how many young'uns in this world there are that's never had a clean peanut butter cracker and a clean glass of milk, even a clean glass of water? I'm telling you, beloved, we're spoilt rotten. Say amen. But in our hearts, we ought to be satisfied with His manna. We ought to realize when we say, give us this day our daily bread, we ought to realize it's the hand that's taking care of the lily, the hand that's feeding the bird. That's the hand that's feeding you and I. Say amen. He is our Heavenly Father. The Word of God said they shall not be ashamed in the evil time. And in the days of famine, they shall be satisfied. David, the man after God's own heart, he said, I once was young and now I'm old and I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor God's seed of begging bread. I tell you, our trust ought to be in Him. As I talked to Ryan yesterday, there was just one thing. We talked probably for 15, 20, 25 minutes. There's one thing that was obvious through it all. His life, he knew it. It's not in the hands, beloved, of the oncologist. His life is in the hands of the great physician, the Almighty God. And he said, Brother Rick, he said, if He heals me here or if He heals me there, I'm a winner either way. I like it. Say amen. That's a man that's satisfied with what God has given him in life. His disciples answered him, from whence can a man satisfy these men with bread here in the wilderness? I tell you, if you love the Lord, this world feels like a wilderness. But how many is glad we know the one that satisfies us with bread in the wilderness? Amen. Listen to this. In the 5th century, a man named Arrhenius, he determined to live a holy life. I like this. I'm going to try this sometime. So he abandoned the conforms of the Egyptian society to follow an austere lifestyle in the desert. Yet whenever he visited the great city of Alexandria, he spent much time wandering through its bazaars. Asked why, he explained that his heart rejoiced at the sight of all the things that he didn't need. Think about that for just a minute. Those of us who live in a society flooded with goods and gadgets need to ponder the example of that desert dweller. A typical supermarket in the United States in 1976 stocked 9,000 items. Today, it carries 30,000 items. That's over three times as many items. I hope you realize the next time that commercial comes on TV, what they're doing. They're putting it in front of your eyes. You want to know why? Because they know the eyes of man are never satisfied. Amen. There's another one. Amen. How many of them are absolutely essential? How many are not? Beloved, the heart ought to be satisfied with this manna. Then I'm going to give you this. It's Valentine's week, and it's just how God dealing in my heart. Not only is my heart satisfied with His mercy, and my heart is satisfied with His manna, but thank God my heart is satisfied with my marriage. You say, Pastor, what are you talking about? Well, I'm giving you Scripture, am I not? Listen to what the Bible said. And I will satiate the soul of the priest with fatness. By the way, I'm proud of how I pronounced that word. I sat in my office this morning. I didn't know how to pronounce it. So I looked up Alexander Scorby, and I listened to him say it. So thank you, Alexander, for teaching me how to say that word. I didn't know if it was satiate or what it was. Amen. He said, here, I will satiate the soul of the priest with fatness, and my people shall be satisfied with my goodness. Satisfied with His goodness. You say, what's that got to do with anything? Well, you remember when Jesus made the world? He kept saying, He created the earth. He created the light. He created the sea. He created the animals. He created man. Everything He done, He said, and it was good. And it was good. And it was good. Then He come along and said, when He made man, it's not good for man to be alone. Amen. You say, Pastor, what are you trying to say? My heart is satisfied with my marriage. Listen to what the Bible said. Whoso findeth a wife, findeth a good thing and obtaineth favor of the Lord. I tell you something, men. We should never take our wives for granted. Say amen. Ladies, you should never take your husbands for granted. Amen. You know what my grandpa said? I'm not trying to be funny, but I'm telling you, he is an old country preacher. He said, I'm going to tell you right now, if God made anything any better than a woman, He kept it for Himself. That's what my grandpa said. Amen. I'm just telling you, beloved, listen, we ought to be satisfied. You want to know one of the problems in the world? The home is trying to be destroyed every way we turn around. Amen. But God said we ought to be satisfied in our marriage. The Proverbs chapter 5 and verse number 19 said, let her be as a loving hind and a pleasant roe. Let her breast satisfy thee at all times, and be thou ravished always with her love. I'm telling you, God intends for one man and one woman to get together for one lifetime and be satisfied with what God has given us. Amen. I'm telling you this morning, be satisfied with His mercy. Be satisfied with His manna. Be satisfied in your marriage. I was thinking about this last night as God was working in my heart. Someone said, the grass sometimes is greener on the other side of the fence. And another wise man said, it's also greener over the septic tank. Amen. Are you listening to me? Amen. I'm going to tell you something right now. Beloved, our eyes ought to affect our heart. And our heart ought to affect our eyes. Amen. I believe with all of my heart God wants us to be satisfied with His mercy, to be satisfied with His manna, to be satisfied in our marriage. And then lastly, this morning in the message, God wants us to be satisfied. A heart that is satisfied with His majesty. What do you mean, Pastor? Well, let me say first of all, in life. The Bible said, we read it a while ago, blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causes to approach unto thee, that he may dwell in thy courts. He shall be satisfied with the goodness of thy house, even of thy holy temple. The Bible said, one thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord forever, and to inquire, and to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in His temple. I heard this years ago, and I thought it was very good. They discovered a man that had been stranded on an island. He had been there for years. And there was three dwellings. One, two, three. Three dwellings on that island. And they were talking to the man. They said, what is this? He said, He said, this is where I live. He said, this is where I sleep. This is where I eat. This is my home. They said, well, what is this? He said, this is my church. He said, this is where I go to worship. They said, well, what about this building? He said, that's where I used to go to church. On an island all by itself and couldn't be satisfied. Say amen. I'm telling you, beloved, we ought to be satisfied with His majesty, with our Lord, amen, and the place that God has given us to worship Him. Satisfied in life, satisfied in death. Psalm 17 verse 15 said, as for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. Y'all believe that? We're going to see Him. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. Glory to God. No child of God is going to wake up in the presence of the Lord and say, I'm disappointed. Everybody's going to be satisfied. Won't it be wonderful there, having no burdens to bear, gloriously singing with heart bells all ringing? Oh, won't it be wonderful there? And then, beloved, we ought to be satisfied not only with His majesty in life, with His majesty in death, but His majesty at His coming. The Word of God said here, you see, I may not have to die. Y'all know that, don't you? Y'all know before we get through giving an invitation this morning, Jesus could step out on a cloud and say, come up hither. Amen. Gabriel, blow that trumpet and it'd all be over. Amen. For the children of God, they'd be going home. For those left behind, it'd be a mess. The Bible said in John, 1 John 3:1, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. It doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know this, when He shall appear, we shall be like Him. For we shall see Him as He is. I want you to know something, beloved. On that day, every child of God will be satisfied. Amen. God has got it just right. Amen. Just right. And the Bible said, every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Do you know Him this morning? Are you satisfied with His mercy? Are you satisfied with His manna? I'm telling you, beloved, listen, I know the difference. How many's ever went to a restaurant and something was cold? And you were, I'm talking about in your spirit, you were kind of disgusted. Would you raise your hand with me? Say amen. You pay $20, Brother Larry, amen, for something to eat. Amen. And it's cold and you think, ain't they even got a microwave back there somewhere where they could warm it up? Amen. I tell you what, if we saw what's going on in a lot of them kitchens, we'd probably never eat out again. Say amen. Hey, we eat by faith. Amen. But I'm going to tell you something right now. I know the difference between my heart when it's right and when it's not right. My heart, when it's not right, it'll complain. It'll murmur. But when it's right, you ain't never tasted a peanut butter cracker like one that's going in the mouth of somebody whose heart is right with God and realizing that little cracker with a spoonful of peanut butter, Brother Michael, is more than we could ever deserve. Our Father give it to us. Amen. And I praise Him for it, don't you? The heart of man versus the eyes of man. The eyes of man never be satisfied. But thank God we have a Savior that can satisfy our heart. I was preaching a little while ago and I thought about Sawyer. You see, Sawyer's not one bit interested in tools. We found out in that newlywed game the other night that Logan likes tools. So there's Tim the tool man, there's Pastor the tool man, and Logan the tool man. Amen. We found out Logan likes tools. Now little Sawyer, he doesn't have his eyes on tools. He could care less about a hammer or pliers or a cordless screwdriver or a cordless drill. You know what he's got his eyes on? The next one of them little games you plug in. But it don't matter if you're Sawyer or if you're Sawyer's papaw. We might be looking at something different, but the eyes of man are never satisfied. Amen. I'll tell you this and I'm done. When I was a teenager, I got my driver's license. My mom and dad, they owned an old Ford pickup. Dad drove it back and forth to work. And a 1965 Ford Fairlane station wagon. It was black. I believe it would have been perfect. Just put Carter Trent right on the side of it. Amen. Looked like a hearse. I could have it any time I wanted it. I could go. They were putting the gas in it, changing oil, putting tires on it. But let me tell you something about being 16 years old and driving a hearse. You absolutely cannot be cool driving a hearse. Amen? So what happened to my eyes? My dad couldn't afford to buy me a car. But Brother Junior, he agreed to put his name on the line so I could buy it and make payments on it. He said, "Now, son, I can't make the payments." He said, "I can't put oil in it and I can't put gas in it. I can't put tires on it." But he said, "I'll trust you to work." You know what? When I was driving that old black station wagon, I had time galore. I bought that car. I didn't have time to court. Because I was working three jobs trying to pay for it. My dad said, "Son, check the gas." No. He said, "Check the oil." He said, "The gas will check itself." That's what he told me about a car. Amen. He said, "Check oil." He said, "The gas check itself." I bought me a 1975 Roadrunner. Had stripes on the side of it. A 360 engine in it. Tires that wide on the back of it. I'm telling you, I was cool. But I didn't have time to be cool. It just stayed parked out there while I was working, trying to pay for it. Amen. I'm just telling you, that's another example of how the eyes of man, it doesn't matter if you're a teenager or if you're a senior. How many's in agreement with me right there on that part? Ladies, it might be jewelry. Amen. It might be something, to gadget to fix your hair with. Men, I may not have hit your button, but the Holy Ghost did. You got your eyes on something. Amen. You got your eyes on something, they're never satisfied. But thank God we can be satisfied in our heart. And I want to ask you this morning, if you left this world today, are you satisfied that heaven would be your home? Ask you another question. You say, "Yes, sir, preacher." Let me ask you this question. Are you satisfied that the Lord of glory would say, "Well done"? That he would be pleased with your service, pleased with your life, pleased with your faithfulness, pleased with your prayer life, pleased with your Bible reading, pleased with your witnessing? I'm going to tell you something right now. I read this. I can't remember who wrote it, but they said, we should be satisfied with what we have, but we should never be satisfied with what we are. We ought to be wanting to improve. As Brother John said one time in a Sunday school lesson, do better. He said, we could all do better. And I agree with that. I want you to know this morning, God wants you to be satisfied in your heart. Let's pray. Father, thank you this morning for the message. Lord, I thank you for your mercy. I thank you, God, that you meet our needs every day of our life. Thank you, God, for my precious wife. Lord, I thank you for the fact that one day I'll get to be like you. Go see you, Lord, just like you are. And I'll be like Jesus. God, we strive down here. But over there, there'll be no more striving. We'll awake in your likeness. What a day, Lord. What a glorious day
that's going to be. God, there's people in our midst today. They've never met you in your mercy. God, they need your mercy. They need your compassion. God, there's children of God here today that know in their heart they wouldn't hear you say, well done. They've been slack, Lord. God, I pray, Lord, that you'd help us in this invitation to be sensitive to thy spirit. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed, no one looking around this morning.